with the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, a couple weeks ago in our Tuesday afternoon Bible study, we were talking about the Ten Commandments, and there was one particular verse that seemed to bring up some issues, seemed to bring up a little bit of a problem. It's one of those verses in Scripture that's a little bit icky. God said, "You shall not bow down to them or worship them," in reference to idols. "For I, the Lord, am your God. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." Now, we can look at something like that, and we can understand the idea of God punishing us for the things that we do wrong. That makes sense. But we're talking here about God saying that he's going to punish our children for what we do wrong. And he's going to punish their children, and he's going to punish their children. And that doesn't sound fair, does it? It's one of those things that just doesn't quite sound right, that somebody else should suffer for our mistakes. I think the primary motivation here is the fact that maybe it will help us to reconsider doing a bad thing if we understand that somebody else is going to get hurt from our doing the bad thing, particularly if it's our children, because we love our children, don't we? If there's anybody in the world that we love, it's our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And knowing this, hopefully, would be motivation for us not to do whatever it is that's going to cause the punishment, hopefully. Now, there are a lot of curses in the Bible. There are a lot of times in Scripture. I just picked this one out as an example of where God says, if you commit this sin, here is the punishment. Here is the curse. I mean, if we remember back, for example, to the fall of man, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they were cursed. This curse was put upon them. It was put upon their offspring. It was put upon the world. The whole world suffered for what they did, and every generation to follow, we're still suffering for the sins of Adam and Eve to this day. And here we see another example of God saying, if you worship these idols, your children will suffer. Generations of those who hate me, he says. Well, maybe it's even worse. I mean, it's, you know, if we look at this as an example of our children suffering, what about us suffering for what somebody else did? What about us suffering for something that our parents did, or our grandparents, or our great-grandparents did? Doesn't seem fair that we're suffering for something we didn't do. But the warning was to them. They were warned that this would happen. And so we have this curse upon us. Does anybody here ever feel like they're cursed? You've got maybe something going on in your life that just isn't right. Maybe a health issue, maybe a financial issue or something like that that might not be your fault. You know, I do worry sometimes that, you know, we look at bad things that happen in our lives, and we sometimes ask the great philosophical question, why me, when something's going on in our lives, when something bad happens in our lives. Well, the simple fact of the matter is that sometimes these bad things that happen in our lives happen because the world is just a broken place. Sometimes these bad things happen in our lives, quite honestly, because there is this curse, not only on the world, but maybe one of these generational curses, that something happened to somebody in the past, and we're suffering for it. I know a lot of people will say, oh, these kind of curses aren't such a good thing. And a lot of people will look at this and say, well, a loving God wouldn't do that. Well, this is in the Ten Commandments, and that we know came from a loving God, and he would. There was plenty of warning. But there is a way out. I do want to say, before I start talking about the way out, just because something bad's going on for us doesn't necessarily mean that we're under some kind of specific curse like this. Fact of the matter is, sometimes bad things just happen. There's a story in the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. The disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned that this man Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. See, it was a very traditional belief back then that if somebody had some kind of affliction, like blindness or some such, that it happened because that person was suffering for their sin, or perhaps they were suffering because their parents had sinned. That's why the person's blind. Well, sometimes people just get blind. There might be a genetic reason for it. There might be some environmental issue. It's not always necessarily a punishment. And sometimes we're really quick, aren't we, to blame the devil for our problems, when sometimes we cause those problems ourselves. Back to not too long ago, you know, there were you could find a lot of jewelry and t-shirts and whatnot that had that phrase, "What would Jesus do?" You remember that? What would Jesus do? And we were all asked as Christians to consider this question. You know, we find ourselves in a situation, what would Jesus do if he was in this situation? Typically, I would ask that question at such a point in my life where the answer was, Jesus wouldn't be in this mess. And I think it's true, because sometimes I get myself into a lot of messes. I get myself into my fair share of messes, but that's me. But sometimes we learn to get into those messes, don't we? Sometimes we learn that. And I think that's where that might be something where the generational curse comes from. You see, we have learned lessons in our lives, and they haven't all been good ones. In the same manner, we have taught lessons in our lives, and they haven't all been good ones. We have learned things from our parents that might not be very good, just as we have learned things from our parents that were good. And we have taught things to our children that are both good and bad. I cite as an example, this came up in Sunday school, when I was a teenage boy and started smoking. Now, for a very long time, they taught us that cigarette smoking is bad for you. They have a little warning label on the cigarettes that say it'll cause cancer and emphysema and all these other myriad of bad things will happen to you if you smoke, and people still buy them. And they taught us in school that smoking is bad for you. Although I seem to recall when I was in school, there was a room in the school that was set aside for the students who smoked to go into this room and smoke. And I was tempted to smoke. And I can point to my parents. My parents both smoked at the time. And I found that while all my friends were out smoking Winstons and Camels and I don't remember what else, I went for Kents because that's what my dad smoked. I had no other reason. That's what I went for. And then my mom found my cigarettes, and I got in trouble. And I told her I only smoked one, which wasn't true. She said when I brought this up in Bible study, she said, "You told me you only smoked one." It's like, I was a teenager. I lied. But that's an example. It's a simple example. I met a man a few years ago involved in the prison ministry I was working with. This man who was an inmate in the prison learned a very bad lesson as a child. When he was 9 years old, his father tied him to a chair and forced him to watch as he beat his mother to death. Guess what that man's in prison for? We learn lessons. You see, a lot of kids grow up seeing these things going on in their home life, and they assume that that's okay. They assume it's okay for a man to beat his wife because dad beats up mommy. They assume it's okay to get drunk and angry because that's what dad does. They assume it's okay to do drugs because mom does drugs. They assume it's okay to sleep around because mom does it openly. And we learn that these things are okay. We look at them and we're appalled. Little girls will grow up and look for a man just like daddy. And if he's abusive, they'll look for a man who's abusive and think that that's love. That's a generational curse. We learn these things and we think they're okay, and it breaks God's heart. But there's a way out. There is a way out. It's not easy, but there's a way out. Romans chapter 5, verse 15 tells us, "But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the transgressions of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many. As we look back to our example of the fact that the whole world is fallen because one man, Adam, sinned, we can look ahead of that and see the fact that likewise, by the sacrifice and death of one man, Jesus, the whole world is saved. We have an opportunity to change. We have an opportunity to put the past behind us. We have an opportunity to push those bad things away. We have an opportunity to not sin. We have that choice. The little boy who grew up to be a murderer because he saw his mother murdered had a choice. He had the opportunity to not kill the people that he killed. When I was growing up, I had the opportunity to not smoke. I had the opportunity to not drink. My parents didn't do that. That was all me. That was my bad decision. There was peer pressure, but at the same time, I made the decision. And we all have that opportunity to make those decisions. We have that opportunity to turn away from sin. We have that opportunity, that privilege, that responsibility to teach future generations that they get to make those decisions for themselves too. It's okay to not sin. It's okay to know that you don't have to do the wrong thing. It's okay to be a good person. Society prefers it. Maybe the people in certain neighborhoods don't prefer it, but society prefers that we be good people. The world needs more saints. We can break that curse. If you think that there is something that seems to have control over you in your life right now, perhaps a habit, perhaps an addiction that you're just sick of, you get to break that. You can decide to break that right now. It might not be easy. Habits are hard to break. Addictions are hard to break, but they can be broken. There's lots of success stories out there. The first thing we got to do is decide to break it, to break the addiction, to break the habit. I need to do this myself. In case you haven't noticed, I'm fat. I'm a compulsive eater. It sickens me sometimes. You know, they say I've heard a lot of preachers say that some of their better sermons are ones they're preaching to themselves. I'm preaching to myself. It's an issue I've dealt with for years. You've heard me mention it here before, and I continue to try, but I can open a bag of cookies and eat the whole thing in a breath, and it makes me sick. I have to stop. You may have something in your life like that, something that needs to happen. Maybe a habit, maybe an addiction, maybe an attitude. Maybe you learned to hate somebody. There was another man I met in prison who, it was kind of funny. As our group was getting ready to go into the prison, one of the other ministers in our group is an Anglican priest named Father Hewitt. He's a black man, an older, very wise Anglican priest. And it was kind of funny because we were getting ready to go in, and it's like, oh, by the way, one of the leaders said, oh, by the way, Father Hewitt, the guy who's going to be sitting on your right side, he's a white supremacist. He's a Nazi. He's going to be sitting next to you all weekend. And that white supremacist that was Thursday afternoon, and by Saturday morning, that white supremacist gave his heart over to Jesus Christ, and Father Hewitt's his best friend now. His brother is not too happy about it. His brother who's in prison with him is not too happy about it. Hopefully one day we'll get to work on him. But we have choices to make. We have curses to break. And it's time we do those things. Amen.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Benediction is a good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And the good news is that curses can be broken. We have the opportunity to do that. Jesus came to break the curse. It's going to take a little work for us, but we can do it. Not only does it make us better, it can make the next generation better. Because just as the next generation can suffer from our curse, the next generation can suffer from our blessing. We have that opportunity. There was something else I was going to say. Maybe I wasn't supposed to say it. The service is over. Your service may now begin. Oh, I remember what it was. Somebody not long ago said to me, pointed out to me the fact that Jesus invites us to come to him just as we are, just as we are. But once we're there, he wants us to get better. This is our opportunity to get better. Today is our day to make that decision to be better. Today is the day to make that decision to break the curse, to set ourselves free. We get to do that. We get to leave this room better than we were when we came in. Isn't that amazing? Now the service is over, and your service may begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.